Hey everyone, it's Brandon Johnson from This Is Baseball. I am out of town this week, so got something a little bit fun planned while I'm away. The Royals over the weekend celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the 2014 American League Championship Royals team, so I thought it would be fun to kind of join in on that and take a look back at that team and celebrate what they were able to accomplish. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Let's start the show. Welcome back to This Is Baseball. I am Brandon Johnson. Look, it's been 10 years since the Royals won the American League Championship in that 2014 season. The Kansas City Royals have celebrated that Royals team this season and over the weekend. So I want to join in on the fun a little bit. And to start off, earlier this year, I did an episode kind of recapping and reminiscing on the 2014 American League wildcard game, a game that I personally consider one of the best baseball games ever. I did an episode talking about that and kind of my experience with that. So that episode, if you haven't heard it, will be in the link. It'll be linked in the episode description below. So check that out if you hadn't yet, just to kind of take a walk down memory lane with that. So I think some things about the 2014 Kansas City Royals. Obviously, it was the first Royals team in 29 seasons to make the MLB postseason. Royals won the World Series in 1985 and then hadn't gone back to the postseason since. They had a couple moments where they had like a winning season or were halfway competitive for a little bit and then would just go back to being completely terrible. And then came Dayton Moore with the old "in Dayton we trust" mantra that was kind of adopted by the fan base, where he built this roster, this core that was going to be special and be a winning ball club. And that's exactly what he was able to do. It took him a little bit of time and we had to go through some more dark seasons to get to that point. But I want to take a look at the roster real quick and just go through it. And when I look at this, a couple things come to mind, and it's HDH, which Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, Greg Holland, the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guys. When you look at the Royals of the 2014-2015 run, the idea for the starting pitching was, let's just get through 6 innings and have the lead, because if we have the lead, we're going to give the ball to Kelvin Herrera. He's going to take care of the 7th and toss the ball to Wade Davis and Greg Holland. And that was basically like just a perfect formula. And the bullpen in HDH was a huge reason for this team's success. But I look at the lineup, you have Salvador Perez, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Alcides Escobar, Alex Gordon, Lorenzo Cain. And my thought, the thing that comes to mind, is keep the line moving, right? This was a team that none of them were power hitters. Salvador Perez obviously can hit some home runs, but this was a small ball baseball team, get it and built with speed and defense, right? They didn't do a ton of flashy things, but they got on base and they won playing small ball. Keep the line moving was kind of the mantra again. So I think about this team and there's a lot in 2014 that I remember, specifically with the postseason. Obviously, the Royals won 89 games in 2014. They were the first wild card team back when the wild card game was still a thing. They hosted the Oakland Athletics, who were on pace to be the best team in the American League, but kind of cooled off in the second half of the season and ended up just squeaking into the postseason and had to go on the road against a young Kansas City Royals team. And that wild card game was great. I had the opportunity to be there. I went there with my dad and was able to watch that game in person. And I'm telling you, a baseball crowd that is a sellout crowd and like into the game is like nothing else. That was one of the best atmospheres I had ever been a part of. And that game was just a roller coaster of emotions, where at moments where we felt like, ah, this team's done, this run's over, it's fun while it lasted, fun season. And then you would get to the eighth inning where the Royals rally and get to John Lester and ultimately win this game with Salvador Perez. But in this wild card game, they stole seven bags. Billy Butler stole a base in this game. Billy Butler, you know, known for being slow, was able to steal a base. And that was because John Lester was known for not throwing over to first base, so people or players would just get bigger leads than typical. But the big story of this game, obviously, Salvador Perez hitting the walk-off single underneath Josh Donaldson's glove to propel the Royals into the American League Division Series against the Major League best, American League best 98 win Los Angeles Angels. The Royals obviously played the Angels. And this was when we really started to see, like, this team has a lot of heroes. We had Mike Moustakas, who hit an extra inning home run in the 11th inning. Give the Royals a lead. Eric Hosmer hit a 12th inning home run to give the Royals a lead. And then Greg Holland in game three at home strikes out Mike Trout to move the Royals on to the American League Championship Series. And I think, like, this 2014 team, obviously they won the wild card game, but they swept their way to the World Series. They went 8-0 on their way to the World Series, beating the A's and the Angels in three, and the Baltimore Orioles in four games. And the Orioles, Greg Holland had a save in all four of the games against the Orioles. Like, just again, with the stakes at an all-time high, Greg Holland being able to close that game out and just move the Royals on to the next phase of the postseason, which is obviously the World Series. But the 2014 World Series, obviously, you know, it didn't end how Royals fans would have wanted it to. It ended with the Giants ultimately being crowned champions, largely due to the efforts of Madison Bumgarner, who, you know, at the time, I was very frustrated about Madison Bumgarner and Joe Buck. Joe Buck kind of just drooling over Madison Bumgarner. But I look at it now that time has passed and the fact that the Royals just turned around and won the 2015 World Series over the Mets, which we'll get an opportunity to celebrate next season as we hit the 10-year anniversary of that. Madison Bumgarner was doing something that just shouldn't have been able to been accomplished by a pitcher in a postseason. He was pretty much unhittable and perfect, about as perfect as you could be in the postseason. So looking back on it, I get it now and why you would want to highlight a player like Madison Bumgarner. But I think of the World Series and a couple of things come to mind. And I think one of the big things for me is game six, a young Yordano Ventura, rest in peace, gets the start in game six. And game six is a must win. The Royals are down 3-2 at this point. And Yordano Ventura pitches the game of his life and goes 7 innings with 3 hit baseball to help propel the Royals to a Game 6 victory, forcing the Game 7 against the San Francisco Giants. And in Game 7, Madison Bumgarner again comes into the game in relief this time, and you're like, oh no, here we go. They're not messing around. And we can just fast forward to the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs, because Alex Gordon steps into the plate and hits the ball to left center field, and there's a little bit of misplay, and Alex Gordon ends up at third base. And in my friend group and a lot of other people's circles, it's the old debate of, should Mike Gerschle have sent Alex Gordon home? Yes, he should have, or no, he should have kept him. He made the right call. And it's tough, because obviously, let's say Mike Gerschle sends Alex Gordon home and Gordon's out, and that's how the World Series ends, is on the base paths. Obviously, you don't want that in really any game, the last out being on the base paths, but you definitely don't want to end not only your season, but the World Series on the base pad. So in a way, like, obviously Gerschle made the correct decision, because analytics tell you that Brandon Crawford would have likely thrown out Alex Gordon had he gone home. But I always like to think of, like, what if Gersh sends Alex Gordon home, and Alex Gordon is, he slides in safely at home, and this game ends up tied 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth, and then Salvador Perez steps into the plate and hits a walk-off home run to give the Royals their World Series championship. Obviously, that's not what happened. Salvador Perez pops out in foul territory to Pablo Sandoval, and the Giants win their third World Series in 5 seasons. But I remember as a Royals fan when that happened, like when the Royals officially lost, I remember, like, obviously being bummed as any fan of a team would be, but I remember just thinking, wow, like, this was an absolutely fun season that went as deep into the postseason as it can possibly go. And it made me hopeful for the future of what this team can do. And obviously, like, the Royals used the loss in 2014 as motivation for what they did in 2015. They pretty much ran the league, won 95 games, are the best team in the American League, obviously went to the World Series, won that against the New York Mets. But, like, this is a team that, like, when people think about the Royals, like, outside of the teams from the 70s and 80s, people think about the 2014-2015 Royals and the HDH and keep the line moving and the small ball, the amazing defense, the 2015 All-Star game where pretty much everybody on the Royals roster or on the Royals lineup got voted in because Kansas City is passionate about online voting. We had Omar Infante almost starting the All-Star game. Pretty sure Jose Altuve ultimately ended up being the starter there, but it was crazy. And I, to be a Royals fan, it was crazy at that time because there just hadn't been the passion or really the interest in the Royals outside of, like, for 6 weeks in April and May, but knowing that it was going to just end up being a long season. This was something different, something unique, something we hadn't seen for quite some time. And I think, like, number one, Salvador Perez is, I believe, the only Royal that's still active, or the only player that's still active from this team, outside of maybe Danny Duffy. But I don't think Danny Duffy's really done anything notable in 3 or 4 years. So Salvador Perez is not only the only active player left, but he's playing at an incredibly high level. 10 years later, he's on an MVP caliber type of season. And he's the perfect player to lead this current 2024 Royals team on the way to hopefully a playoff berth. Salvador Perez can be the leader, and Bobby Witt Jr. obviously is playing at a high level as well. You get Vinny Pasquantino and get guys like MJ Melendez going. And this team has the potential to be special like the 2014 Royals were. And what's crazy, what's interesting about this Royals team is the starting pitching specifically is probably the best rotation that the Royals have had in a very, very long time. Like, that's been kind of one of the things that the Royals couldn't do is develop starting pitching. Obviously, they had Zach Greinke, but had to trade for James Shields, had to trade for Johnny Cueto. Danny Duffy had flashes of greatness, but was never that guy. And now you have free agency acquisitions in Seth Lugo, who's on a Cy Young pace. And if the season ended today, he's your clear-cut American League Cy Young winner. Cole Reagan's doing great things again. Michael Wacha, a off-season acquisition along with Seth Lugo, not as great as Lugo has started the season, but still very serviceable. And then you have Brady Singer that is having, I don't want to say a resurgence to his career, but a completely night and day season compared to where he was at this time last year. Because last year, I believe Brady Singer started in the minors, unless I'm getting my years mixed up. So he's come into this role. He's been, you know, the third starter, and that really only matters for the first week because you're, you know, regardless of where you sit in the rotation, you're still going to get those 30 starts if you are healthy. So you have a Royals team now that has the potential to be something special. So I think if you haven't bought in to this team, now is the time to do that and be able to say, I remember that team and I was along for the ride. And maybe it ends up they fall short, but they're going to grab your attention and they're going to be the most interesting thing to happen in the Royals franchise since the 2015 Royals. So that's all I have this week. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next week.